Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Morant, and this is our 11th study in the book of Exodus. We come today to Exodus chapter 13, verse 14. God is giving Israel the law of the firstborn. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Picking up right where we left off, verse 14. So it shall be, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is this?" that you shall say to him, "By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." In other words, pass on the meaning behind the ritual. Verse 15. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Praise God for His mercy toward those who repent, and praise God for His eventual wrath against those who are evil. You see, Israel doesn't go free unless God gets tough on wicked Egypt. 16. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. In other words, God is saying, never forget how God saved us from Egypt. Never forget. Verse 17. Then it shall come to pass, then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. There were actually two ways to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. One was a straight shot, shortcut, nice trip. Follow the Mediterranean Sea, take a right, 5 days, you're home. It was on a nice trade route. By man's way of thinking, it was perfect. Well, God did not lead the Israelites to go that way, and He had a reason for it. Verse 18, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And here is the other route. Not very nice at all. A lot longer. No trade route. Big wilderness. God sometimes leads His people into lousy circumstances. When that happens, remember, God is in control, and there is a purpose. 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. Joseph made the people of his generation swear to carry his bones back to the Promised Land. And now 200 years later, Moses and his generation are fulfilling that promise. 20. So they took their journey from Succoth, encamped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. The edge of the wilderness would mean the edge of confusion as well. And that is why verse 21 is so important. Look at it. And the Lord went before them, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. God is their guide, and He will make sure that they will be able to follow. He gave them a pillar of fire and a cloud. You know, God does not play hide and seek with His people when it comes to revealing His will to them. Verse 22. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. There wasn't a wind strong enough to blow that cloud away, and there wasn't a rainstorm heavy enough to put out that pillar of fire. The only way they don't have the leading of God in their life is if they close their eyes to their guide. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Sephon. You shall camp before it, by the sea." God told them precisely where to set up camp. And the thing that made no sense to them, probably, was that it was a dead end. Verse 3, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in." Pharaoh will look at the Israelites and think, they are lost and confused. They are taken a long way. Furthermore, for some reason they ran right up against the Red Sea when they could have easily avoided it. 4. "Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Pharaoh will look at Israel and say, "They are trapped. I have them, and I will get them now." But he will not get them. God will get him. And in the process of destroying Pharaoh and his army, God will receive glory by means of Pharaoh. Verse 5. "Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?'" You know, I guess sin affects people's memories. The king says, "I let the Hebrews go free. Why did I do that?" Well, I guess he forgot that Almighty God pelted him with 10 plagues, and that's why he let them go free. You know, the king thought Israel was confused. Well, he's the confused one. 6. "So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them." Pharaoh lives for revenge, and that's what this is about. 8. "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness." The slaves left with boldness. And that must have really gotten under Pharaoh's skin. They walked out with their heads held high, while the king looked on in total defeat. 9. "So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea, besides Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon." The king cannot stand the thought of losing his grip on these people. That is why he is about to go on a rampage. Neither this king nor the devil who influences him give up without a fight. 10. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." Israel is weak, untrained, unarmed, and trapped. What do you do when there's nothing you can do? You cry out to God just as fast as you can. And that is what at least some of the Israelites did. However, you do not do what some of the other Israelites did. Notice verse 11. "And they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt?' Complaining is not an option, because complaining is a sin." But Moses might as well get used to it, because it's what he's going to be listening to for the next 40 years. 12. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, they follow up their complaining with a lie. They never told Moses to let them stay in Egypt where they could be slaves. When they were slaves, they yelled at Moses for not getting them out. Now that they are out, they yell at him for getting them out. Verse 13. And Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again, no more, forever. The people were acting like fools, falsely accusing Moses. And I suppose the normal response of man's sinful nature would be to strike back. But the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And that is what Moses gave. He says, Do not be afraid. Verse 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The best thing for the Israelites to do now is be quiet, stop complaining, and just do not do anything foolish, like surrender to Egypt. Just stand still and wait for God to come through. 15. And the Lord said to Moses, Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Someone says, Go forward? Where? The Red Sea is still there. God will take care of that minor problem. Right now, Israel has to obey and start going, or they will be crushed by Egypt. 16. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. They panicked and thought, There is no conceivable way out of this mess. Well, the question is conceivable to who? To you? To me? To some human being who uses 1% of his brain? That doesn't mean there's a way out. There isn't a way out. It just means that we're not smart enough to figure out what it is. But God is. 17. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. God has listened to Pharaoh's arrogant boasting long enough. The king has continued to resist God's grace, so now he will experience God's wrath. 19. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. An angel picked up that pillar of fire that was leading Israel and placed it between them and the Egyptians. See what's happening? God is protecting his people until they are free to go forward in his will. We'll stop right here and we'll pick up our study in chapter 14, verse 21, next time. Until then, so long, everyone.